the word of truth that our Heavenly Father would have us consider today is from 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We Christians have the same tendency as everyone else in the world. We use multiple ways, more than one option, to brush away the guilt of our own sins. Once the sin happens, for example, maybe we just try to forget it. Push it back in the deep part of our mind and pretend it didn't happen. Or we justify it. We put a good spin on our words and actions, hoping to make them seem reasonable under the circumstances. Okay for me to do this time. Not my fault. Yeah, we know how to pass blame. That's something we try to do if we can. He did it. It's his fault, we say. Or perhaps we play some kind of comparison game. It's not that hard to do. Think of someone who is absolutely, from a moral point of view, despicable. This person gets in trouble all the time, behaves badly on a regular basis. I'll give you a hint, prisons are full of such individuals. Compare your life to a guy like that, and you don't look so bad when someone else is worse. By nature, we know how to rank our own sins alongside the sins of other people. And media makes it easy. The violence that we hear about on TV has this way of making the things we do, like gossip, or cheating, or not paying attention to God's Word, seem rather small in comparison to murder, torture, human trafficking, drug dealing, and the list goes on. Now, you should realize that any form of denying your own sin is only going to harm you personally. Don't pass the blame to somebody else. Don't play a cover-up game or a comparison game. It's not going to work, because ultimately it's a lie about ourselves in the face of the Holy God, who always knows. God will always know if we give in to pride or harbor resentment or tell lies or gossip or engage in laziness. If we neglect our duties and take the easy way out, God knows that instantly. And sadly, if after the fact we try to diminish our sins in the ways I mentioned before, or we hope to compensate with our so-called goodness, God will push back. And rightly so. Isaiah 64 comes to mind. We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Now there is a recourse. Confessing our sins. That's the option we have. That's the road to recovery. Of course, when I talk about something like that, owning up to your guilt, confessing your sins to God, that's not easy. It's a painful thing in a way. You have to revisit this ugly thing in your life, taking full responsibility for things we said or did or did not do, while also realizing that a problem we caused is a problem that we can't fix. We can't do anything to take it back or make it go away. We are truly stuck in a state of desperation. We need a Savior. We need to experience, not just hear, but experience the truth of verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That comes to you as a promise from your God. A promise that He keeps to cleanse us and forgive us all the time. Every time, because every sin is dealt with and paid for in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God does not play a cover-up game with our sins. God does not choose to look the other way and pretend they did not happen. Quite the opposite. He carries out His justice on this very high level. He keeps track of everything we do. There's a record, and it goes on Jesus. He measures out the penalty of eternal death and gives it to Jesus. This is a decree of His own will based on His grace, which applies to you as follows. All of your sins have transferred to Christ. All of them. Even the so-called bad ones. Even the ones that keep coming back to trouble us. Your Savior, in your place, has made full restitution to the satisfaction of the Supreme Judge, your Heavenly Father. So every broken commandment in your life, every type of sin committed, every occurrence of it is dealt with decisively, paid for completely, washed away forever, just as the Psalm writer declares, as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. Depend on that as the certainty of a right relationship between you and God. Cling to that daily. Not as some license to go out and do whatever you wish, but with a firm resolve to live your life differently. God's forgiveness will take you in the opposite direction, away from sin, as you follow your Savior wherever He leads you in His Word. God's forgiveness will liberate you, setting you free from not just the guilt, not just the punishment, but also the slavery of it, this domination that sin otherwise holds on a person's heart and life. Let's keep in mind tomorrow and beyond what the writer, the Apostle John, has told us. If we deny our sins, we lose. We put up a barrier between us and the blessing of Christ. On the other hand, if we confess our sins, well, God is already at work, isn't He? Bringing that confession to pass and fixing the damage. The healing of God's forgiveness is sure because it's paid for by Jesus, brought to you as a free gift. It truly is the only way we can have peace of mind, a clear conscience, blessing from God now and forever, all the result of the Lord making it true and telling you in His Word, you've heard it before. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our worship concludes with the singing of hymn 358, the first three stanzas, 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 358.